Today is the 14th day of February. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It's great to be here with you today from the shores of the Sea of Galilee, overlooking the Sea of Galilee. It's really great to be back here. It's one of my very favorite places in the world. Really, really beautiful, peaceful place. And, man, of all the places in Israel, I can picture Jesus here most and understand why here. And it's lovely. So, greetings to you. Glad we can be here together on this journey, whether here or virtually, as we begin kind of the Galilee portion of our excursion, our pilgrimage. We'll be kind of moving around some of the interior of the Galilee today. And we'll talk about that. And yeah, we'll share kind of yesterday, getting into the Galilee, getting out of the Judean wilderness and into the Galilee. So we'll talk about all that and all the goings on later, but we're here now to take the next step forward. Well, before we do, we're at the end of a week. And we always take a second here to kind of huddle up, gather around, reflect back. We started this week. We made some intentions. And now we get to look back and see what the challenges were and what the victories were. And this rhythm of beginning a week and then reflecting back on it. Just as a community, this is our way of getting into the kind of ritual or rhythm of becoming aware that our thoughts and our words and our choices and our actions write the story of our lives. And that writes the story on a week, but some of those choices can last forever and have ongoing implications. And so paying attention to who we are and what we are choosing to do matters, and matters greatly. Everything matters. So we reflect back as we bring another one of the weeks that we get to share together to a close, and then we step forward. We are in the book of Exodus, the Mosaic Law, God's law being given to organize the children of Israel is being given. And when we get to the New Testament, we will conclude the first book in the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew. And so we will conclude the first of the four Gospels today. Exodus chapter 37 and 38. Bezalel built a chest of acacia wood, 110 centimeters long, 66 centimeters wide and 66 centimeters high. He covered it inside and out with pure gold and put a gold edging around the top. He made four gold rings and attached one of them to each of the four legs of the chest. Then he made two poles of acacia wood, covered them with gold, and put them through the rings so the chest could be carried by the poles. The entire lid of the chest, which was made of pure gold, was the place of mercy. On each of the two ends of the chest, he made a winged creature of hammered gold. They faced each other, and their wings covered the place of mercy. Bezalel built a table of acacia wood, 88 centimeters long, 44 centimeters wide, and 66 centimeters high. He covered it with pure gold and put a gold edging around it with a border 75 millimeters thick. He made four gold rings and attached one to each of the legs near the edging. The poles for carrying the table were placed through these rings and were made of acacia wood covered with gold. Everything that was to be set on the table was made of pure gold: the bowls, plates, jars, and cups for wine offerings. Bezalel made a lampstand of pure gold. The whole lampstand, including its decorative flowers, was made from a single piece of hammered gold, with three branches on each of its two sides. There were three decorative almond blossoms on each branch, and four on the stem. There was also a blossom where each pair of branches came out from the stem. The lampstand, including its branches and decorative flowers, was made from a single piece of hammered pure gold. The lamp and its equipment, including the tongs and trays, were made of about 35 kilograms of pure gold. For burning incense, Bezalel made an altar of acacia wood. It was 45 centimeters square and 90 centimeters high, with each of its four corners sticking up like the horn of a bull. He covered it with pure gold and put a gold edging around it. Then below the edging on the opposite sides, he attached two gold rings through which he put the poles for carrying the altar. These poles were also made of acacia wood and covered with gold. Bezalel mixed the sacred oil for dedication and the pure spices for the sweet-smelling incense. Bezalel built an altar of acacia wood for offering sacrifices. It was 2.25 meters square and 1.34 meters high, with each of its four corners sticking up like the horn of a bull, and it was completely covered with bronze. The equipment for the altar was also made of bronze. The pans for the hot ashes, the shovels, the bowls, the meat forks, and the fire pans. About halfway up the altar, he built a ledge around it and covered the bottom half of the altar with a decorative bronze grating. Then he attached a bronze ring beneath the ledge at the four corners to put the poles through. He covered two acacia wood poles with bronze and put them through the rings for carrying the altar, which was shaped like an open box. Bezalel made a large bowl and a stand out of bronze from the mirrors of the women who helped at the entrance to the sacred tent. Around the sacred tent, Bezalel built a courtyard 44 meters long on the south and north, and 22 meters wide on the east and west. He used 20 bronze posts on bronze stands for the south and north, and 10 for the west. Then he hung a curtain of fine linen on the posts along each of these three sides by using silver hooks and rods. He placed three bronze posts on each side of the entrance at the east and hung a curtain 6.67 meters wide on each set of posts. For the entrance to the courtyard, Bezalel made a curtain 9 meters long, which he hung on four bronze posts that were set on bronze stands. This curtain was 2.25 meters high, the same height as the one for the rest of the courtyard, and was made of fine linen, embroidered and woven with blue, purple, and red wool. He hung the curtain on the four posts using silver hooks and rods. The pegs for the tent and for the curtain around the tent were made of bronze. Bezalel had worked closely with Aholiab, who was an expert at designing and engraving, and at embroidering blue, purple, and red wool. The two of them completed the work that the Lord had commanded to be done. Moses put Aaron's son Ithamar in charge of the Levites, who kept record of the metals used for the sacred tent. According to the official weights, the amount of gold given was a ton, and the silver that was collected when the people were counted came to 3.4 tons. Everyone who was counted paid the required amount, and there was a total of 603,550 men who were 20 years old or older. 34 kilograms of the silver were used to make each of the 100 stands for the sacred tent and the curtain. The remaining 30 kilograms of silver were used for the hooks and rods and for covering the tops of the posts. 2,425 kilograms of bronze were given, and it was used to make the stands for the entrance to the tent, the altar and its grating, the equipment for the altar, the stands for the posts that surrounded the courtyard, including those at the entrance to the courtyard, and the pegs for the tent and the courtyard. Matthew 28. The Sabbath was over, and it was almost daybreak on Sunday when Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. Suddenly, a strong earthquake struck, and the Lord's angel came down from heaven. He rolled away the stone and sat on it. The angel looked as bright as lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards shook from fear and fell down as though they were dead. The angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus, who was nailed to a cross. He isn't here. God has raised him to life, just as Jesus said he would. Come, see the place where his body was lying. Now hurry. Tell his disciples he has been raised to life and is on his way to Galilee. Go there, and you will see him. This is what I came to tell you." The women were frightened and yet very happy as they hurried from the tomb and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and greeted them. They went near him, held on to his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. Tell my followers to go to Galilee. They will see me there." While the women were on their way, some soldiers who had been guarding the tomb went into the city. They told the chief priests everything that had happened. So the chief priests met with the leaders and decided to bribe the soldiers with a lot of money. They said to the soldiers, "Tell everyone that Jesus' disciples came during the night and stole his body while you were asleep. If the governor hears about this, we will talk to him. You won't have anything to worry about." The soldiers took the money and did what they were told. The people of Judea still tell each other this story. Jesus' 11 disciples went to a mountain in Galilee where Jesus had told them to meet him. They saw him and worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came to them and said, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Go to the people of all nations and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to do everything I have told you. I will be with you always, even until the end of the world." Psalm 34, 11 through 22. Come, my children, listen as I teach you to respect the Lord. Do you want to live and enjoy a long life? Then don't say cruel things and don't tell lies. Do good instead of evil and try to live at peace. If you obey the Lord, he will watch over you and answer your prayers. But God despises evil people, and he will wipe them all from the earth till they are forgotten. When his people pray for help, he listens and rescues them from their troubles. The Lord is there to rescue all who are discouraged and have given up hope. The Lord's people may suffer a lot, but he will always bring them safely through. Not one of their bones will ever be broken. Wicked people are killed by their own evil deeds. And if you hate God's people, you will be punished. The Lord saves the lives of his servants. Run to him for protection, and you won't be punished. Proverbs 9:9-10. If you have good sense, instruction will help you to have even better sense. And if you live right, education will help you to know even more. Respect and obey the Lord. This is the beginning of wisdom. To have understanding, you must know the Holy God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for another week. Thank you for all that you have brought us through, all that is yet to be in front of us. Thank you for bringing us now to the conclusion of the first book in the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, and the first time that we get to experience the beauty, the awe, the glory, the majesty of the resurrection. And we thank you for that. That changes everything about us. That has redeemed us, and we are grateful. And so we live into that today as we release this week and all that it has meant into our history. It becomes a part of the past, part of the story, as we look forward to writing the next chapter. Holy Spirit, come. Lead us into all truth, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Welcome to another day, another episode of whatever this is. I'm Jill.
I'm Brian.
We made it to the Sea of Galilee.
Yes. The exhale moment of that.
Yeah. We've been going. So we're here for a minute. It feels good.
We got here after dark, and it is dark, but just to be back here. I feel so grateful to be back here. I love it here.
Mm-hmm, I do too.
And so welcome to Galilee, everybody. A little bit of just housekeeping things, of the few things that we just have kept forgetting to mention. So today is our live broadcast from the Sea of Galilee. It'll be tonight for us, 7:30 p.m. local Israel time. And you'd have to kind of work that out wherever you are. But I can tell you some United States, you know, some times in the United States. And that might be like right now as you're listening to this. So tune in. But Eastern time zone would be 12:30 p.m. Saturday. Central, where we live, that'd be 11:30 a.m. Saturday. Mountain, 10:30. Pacific, 9:30 a.m. Saturday. It'll be 7:30 p.m. for us, and we will have gone out for the day and come back together, and it is always a beautiful time for the community at large, everybody, to come together.
Mm-hmm.
It's always fun. So you'll be able to kind of chat with each other, send in questions to the community here, people who are on the... get some of your questions answered, and we'll answer some questions as well as just hearing from everybody. It's a really important moment for those of us who are actually here on the journey, because we've come out of the wilderness now, and it's intense. And so to get here really, it needs an exhale, and this is that exhale. So that's one thing. Tune in everywhere. Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, X, TikTok. but probably I'm going to guess that the most of the conversation will be on Facebook, but we'll look forward to being together with you. And so don't miss it. That's thing one. Thing two is that every day we're posting a video, Jill and I, from the day. And so all the things you hear us talking about, you can go see wherever our social media platforms, whatever channels that we're on. And so make sure that you can see a few minutes of what we're talking about each day. So check that out. And then thirdly, if you want to come, like if you want to come next year.
Yeah, you can't come tomorrow.
Yeah, we'd love that. We'd love it if you could. But if you want to come next time that we go, we have that organized and planned out for next year, 2027, and you can register now. So go to dailyaudiobible.com, and in the initiatives section, you will find Israel 2027. And you can check that out. Check all the details, all the itinerary, all the things, basically all the questions that you might have as you're contemplating that. If it's been on your list of things you want to do or on your bucket list, and I don't know, you want to come and be a part of a pilgrimage with us, we'd love that. Nothing more that we love than to be together with the community. And so you can check that out. It's available now, and we look forward to seeing you next year. And that is that. Now, what do we do today? Can we collect our thoughts enough to go through what we did today? I mean, today was another, we did important things, important work, and our pilgrimage, but kind of a heavy travel day.
Mm-hmm.
To get ourselves, like, gosh, two nights ago, we're in Eilat. We're at the absolute bottom of Israel. Now, we're way up in the Galilee.
Now we're at Eilat.
Now we're up here.
Wouldn't that be fun if they named a city Eilat and Eilat?
That would be amazing.
Two days ago, we were at Eilat. Holy cow.
Way down on the Egyptian border.
Yeah.
So we've had a lot of travel to get here so that we can camp out. You know, it's such an exhale when we get to Galilee because we get several nights in the same place. Because now we're focusing on the things that happen in the Bible, especially around the life of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because this... crazy as it is, like we can look at our window, it's dark, but we're looking out at the Sea of Galilee, and this is the backdrop to Jesus' ministry.
Yeah, absolutely. And you see why when you're here. You see why because you know, if what John Eldridge says is true, beauty will heal us.
I like that, and I believe that.
And I mean, Jesus had to take from what was here.
Mm-hmm.
I am theologically making up my own theology right here. I just want to first preface that.
Okay.
But strenuous stuff that he's dealing with constantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it would make sense to me that the restoration part, because what does he, oh gosh, we're getting into things that didn't happen today, but what does he do often? He retreats away to his father.
To understand, like, geographically what that looks like, the places that he was when he did retreat, they're beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Like, really, really beautiful in kind of every way.
Yeah.
Open nature.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, no doubt. But you're right. That's not what we did today. We just got here. but we will be kind of in and around the Galilee and around the Sea of Galilee the next few days, and all the way up into the northern country as well. So we'll look forward to being able to be at a base camp, basically, mm-hmm. for a few days, and it means so much to be able to unpack and not have to repack.
Yep.
So, welcome to Galilee, everybody. You can get out of the suitcase now. Grab your toothbrush. We're going to stay here a few days. Glad to be able to do that. We started our day at the Dead Sea.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And woke up this morning and saw the sunrise over the Jordanian mountains.
I got to see the sunrise this morning.
Yeah?
Yep. I was up and the moon was still just shining so bright. It was so beautiful, lighting the sky up, and just laying there. And then I watched the day break. It's like, this is so beautiful. And there's my mercy. I'm going to take it. Because I'm going to need it the second my feet hit the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was kind of, that was sweet.
It's beautiful. And that's, you know, we began our day departing from the Dead Sea. And we've been moving north the whole way from the Dead Sea to the Sea of Galilee. So our first stop today was the Oasis of En Gedi. And En Gedi is named many times in the Bible. From a biblical perspective, it's named in the Song of Solomon.
Yeah.
It's named in the book of Ecclesiastes.
Yep.
It really is the backdrop for some of King David's story.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten there in this, in our reading through the Bible this year, but we'll get to know David really, really well. There's just a lot of material around King David, and David before he's king. And he really had to run for his, like, he had to grow up so fast and became famous overnight and had to learn how to, like, stay alive when assassins are set upon him to kill him and when armies are chasing him down. One of the places that he was hiding was in and around En Gedi. It's a freshwater source in the middle of the desert. And so there's some psalms that are written out there, and there's caves everywhere.
They're so intriguing.
So intriguing. And so we got everybody out there, and there's a little waterfall, and a little gentle morning walk. I love that little walk. And so you and I are hand in hand, and it's just a cool morning. And I love doing that with you. I loved that this morning.
I did too.
And so we got out there to the waterfall, and you got to share.
I did.
And I loved that.
Thank you, honey.
Ultimately about trusting God. What was that like for you to be at the waterfall and talking to everybody?
The waterfall, you know, if I'm going to put just some background music on, I'm going to choose something with water. So it was, the word oasis in the scripture, that the context from which I read from, like, even just to say that from where we have been in the dry desert.
Yeah.
Just that waterfall gushing behind. It's such a stimulating sound. You know, it's like just very, what's the right word? It's just very pleasing to the senses, I guess.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
Very soothing and calming. But it's like, it's like when your soul is parched, like when your body is parched, when you're just like the kids. We've been in the desert. We did a couple of long walks and stuff, and our grandkids are with us. And we went up on Masada, didn't have water. It was hot.
Yep.
The sun's beating down, And everyone's just feeling it like, oh, I'm thirsty, I should have brought water.
Yeah.
Just dry.
Yeah.
And so you know what that is in the physical sense.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't really pay attention sometimes in the spiritual sense.
Yeah, to how dry, how thirsty.
But when you get attuned to your body and to your spiritual being,
mm-hmm.
you can know when your body's dehydrated. Mm-hmm. I'm dehydrated, I'm not feeling so well, man. I'm getting a headache, blah, blah, blah. We don't really pay attention to our spiritual. I think what I'm saying is, like, the desert literally starts taking a little bit of a toll on me. Mm-hmm. Just like,
right.
I need some water.
Mm-hmm.
That's my spiritual oasis.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of that to say that it was very quenching. Mm-hmm. Today, just to be there. I love that little place.
Yeah,
I love being there with you too. Mm-hmm. And Ezekiel always walks with us.
Yeah.
And it was just really a sweet time, I think, and just a really important message on my heart of the story of King Saul.
Mm-hmm.
And David.
Mm-hmm.
And David ultimately didn't do anything wrong. He was just being himself.
Mm-hmm.
But his notoriety and fame caused King Saul extreme hatred, jealousy, envy.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted him dead.
Yeah.
And he went to great lengths to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And David knows this, that King Saul's son is David's best friend.
Yeah.
Jonathan is David's best friend, and Jonathan ultimately ends up letting him know, like, you gotta go, my father's gonna kill you.
Mm-hmm.
So he's on the run.
Yeah.
And so a lot of those psalms, I think that's the part I left out, that I wish I would have said. The psalms made so much sense for me last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just this entitlement of like, oh God, when am I gonna get the thing that I'm asking you for? I am so dry and barren because I'm not getting, like, I've always kind of just read it like, oh, these enemies, they're after me, like, you mm-hmm. know, just anytime we don't get our way, it's like,
right.
Oh, just under such attack. And
mm-hmm.
Reading the Psalms and going, oh wow, David's, the cry of his heart in some of these Psalms is like, where does my help come from?
Yeah.
You know, like, it just reads completely different contextually when you understand the story and the backdrop.
Right.
Because chronologically, the Psalms interweave. Mm-hmm. They weave in and out of mm-hmm. our reading.
Mm-hmm.
And so we read about something, you read the Psalm, the cry, the song, the lament, whatever David is, the poetry, whatever he's writing about.
Yeah.
And it's like you're getting a look at his journal entry to the story.
I love that, yeah.
So we just unpacked that, and that in one of those caves, maybe, perhaps, is where David is hiding out, and King Saul gathers an army of 3,000 men, because he's got to be big and bad.
Yeah.
And goes in the cave to relieve himself.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's such a human detail, and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
David has him. And he sneaks up and he takes his sword and he cuts off a piece of his robe.
Yeah.
And when he does, his heart is convicted. Like, it's after the action that he's convicted.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, ah, this is God's appointed man. As much as I want to save myself
mm-hmm.
by killing him, I cannot touch God's anointed.
Right.
And they have this exchange. Well, I mean, you know the story, but ultimately, David and Saul have this confrontation. David's like, I could have killed you. What? Like, I've not done anything
like
to
how,
you.
How else do I have to prove?
Yes.
That I have no intention of trying to take over anything and
yes.
No ill will towards you. Why are you hunting me down?
Why do you want to kill me?
What have I done, right? I could have killed you. If I wanted to kill you, you would be dead right now.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's such a just question. You know, because ultimately David's not done anything but be himself and be loyal to King Saul. So, you know, when you've been on both sides of that story.
Yeah.
It just really puts it in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the grace and the mercy that David shows King Saul, that King Saul is compelled to this moment of awakening.
Mm-hmm.
And his life is spared. But it is ultimately David's fear of the Lord, fear of God. Like, I cannot touch God's appointed man, even though King Saul is in the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And just a very, very powerful story for me, because we hear a lot about enemies, talk a lot about enemies. Mm-hmm. Enemies are on the outside. They're trying to infect us with their evil.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's true.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we're the enemy too.
Yeah.
And we don't realize that we often reach for vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
We often reach for revenge.
Yeah.
We want someone to get what's coming to them.
Mm-hmm.
And when you just pull that story apart, it's very, very convicting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I trust in God, who is the only righteous judge, who says vengeance is mine, I have to end the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Here.
Yeah.
And that's really hard to do.
Yeah.
So
you shared about that.
Yeah.
And it was really beautiful to watch and hear. And I love that.
Thank you.
Everybody loved that. And we left there. I mean, that's where how our day started. And went further north.
Mm-hmm.
Not too far. To some more caves, to a place called Qumran. And this is a settlement of the Essenes. And
now, the Essenes are not, like, that's not real well known, so.
It's kind of a separatist group of priests trying to purify what was corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's like quite a bit of legitimate speculation about Essene influence on people like John the Baptist, who comes out of the wilderness, you know, and shows up, and his kind of language and attitude and posture is calling people to repentance, and so you know, that very well may be legitimate. And so we're out there, and this is a place where a pretty vast library is collected, where they're trying to do, you know, live ritually pure. And but ultimately Rome is coming in to conquer and, you know, destroy a rebellion. And so these people pretty well get wiped out. And this library, this, you know, the codexes and the parchments and the stuff that they had are in like clay jars in caves, and they stay there for, well, until the 1940s.
Wow.
When they are discovered, and these are called the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the earliest, like some of the manuscripts of some of the scriptures, like, there are no originals, basically. There are no original texts.
Right.
There's copies of copies of copies. Some of the documents found at the Dead Sea Scrolls are the early, like, they took what we had and set it back like they were earlier versions. Same versions, but like earlier texts. And so it was a magnificent and, you know, faith shaking, not shaking in a bad way, but like monumental discovery.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, the Dead Sea Scrolls are still studied today. Mm-hmm. Very famous. So we stopped there at Qumran and everybody got kind of a chance to take that in for, for a bit. And then we went out to the Jordan River.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, something that I love very much. And
I know
something
you do.
That's really, really beautiful is to baptize people in the Jordan River.
Tell us what that is like for you. To be able to be face to face with the people that you lead through the Bible that come every year and they want to be baptized, and you get to baptize every single one of them plus more, and we'll talk about that in a second, but what is that like for you?
It's really, really meaningful to my life, to me. Yeah, I mean, this is the work that I'm supposed to do, and so to be able to have this touch point with somebody who's, you know, on the other side of, you know, I'm on the microphone side and they're on the earphone side. You know this, you do this work too. This is our work. But to be able to join those two together in one moment, especially a moment of such impact. It means the world to me. So I feel really grateful to share that moment.
Yeah.
To be able to share that moment with everybody who comes down into the freezing, frigid Jordan River to leave behind everything that they were without Jesus and let it flow down into the Dead Sea.
Yeah.
And I love to just share about that, and it's really cold, like really, really, really cold. And so staying in that water, you know, an hour or more definitely lowers the body temperature way, way, way down.
Yeah.
But, just to watch people be brave and face that cold and step into that water and catch their breath, because it takes your breath away.
Yeah, yeah.
And but that's kind of baptism. Baptism is supposed to be from a spiritual, it's a physical representation. It's a sacrament. It's a physical representation of something that's happening spiritually. So it's a death and a resurrection. And so to step into that cold water and feel the shock of it, and understand that your sin has brought you to, you know, to feel that cold sting kind of, and to come up out of that water, you know, a new creation, as it were. It's very, very moving, very special. And so we did that, you know, And I love that. Freezing as it is, I love it.
Yeah.
And that's right on the border of Jordan. And so the Jordan, it's not that far. Like, the Jordan River is not like this big, wide, massive flowing.
No.
It's, you know,
it's quite narrow. And literally the bank that, you know, you could swim a few laps and be at the bank and be at Jordan.
Right.
I don't recommend it.
That wouldn't work well. No. But you could, yeah. So we did baptisms.
And what was so striking for me standing there watching you and just, you know, I was helping people in, Christians helping people get out of the water because it's quite slippery right there. You could hear the people's breath be snatched because the shock of the cold. But then just, you know, seeing some people that really understood what was taking place was so moving.
Yeah.
And then we are surrounded at one point by all different ethnicities.
Yeah.
Different denominations.
Yeah.
Different
languages.
Languages and different ceremonies of rituals of,
different style.
Yeah. And you know, I think some people might not quite understand the beauty in that.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's different opinions of what that looks like, but I stood there and thought, I wonder what this sounds like to the heart of God, you know, like to hear his children, to hear the different voices and go, oh, yes, there's my Korean children.
Mm-hmm.
There's my American children. There's my Russian or whatever they were, just like they're all gathered together today.
Mm-hmm.
They all came to the Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
It was so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said, I didn't realize, but you said this has happened every year. There was a couple that came down and they're waiting by our group.
Mm-hmm.
And this fella calls another one of the fellas in our group over. And he said, that man down there, and he pointed to you.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I have a couple. Will he baptize them? And the fella says, well, this is his wife. You need to talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went over and he said, you're his wife? And I said, yes. He said, that man? And I said, yes. He said, I know that man.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you do? And he said, yes. And he tells who he is. And he said, that man's the Bible man. And I said, yes, he's the Bible man.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I sell chocolate outside of the garden tomb. I've been there 32 years. Your husband comes all the time. I said, yes, he comes every year. He said, this couple wants to be baptized. Will he baptize them? I said, yes, he will baptize them.
Yeah.
He said, they don't speak English. And of course, you did. And he didn't know that you were my husband.
Mm-hmm.
But he saw you. And he said, I know him. He comes all the time. That's who I want to baptize them.
Mm.
I just thought that was so amazing.
And I can't explain that, but that seems to happen most every time somebody asks, you know, or either, you know, happens to be there at the same time and knows this work, or just simply is watching and wants to come into the water. And I love that.
I love that.
I can't explain it. Like, it's humbling. I don't understand, but I love it. And I'm grateful to kind of reach out and just connect like that.
Absolutely.
It's, I don't know how to explain it. It's really, really beautiful.
And to watch that they didn't know English, they did not know you, but they were so grateful.
Mm-hmm.
And they were so moved that you would baptize them. Mm-hmm. And that it just was so beautiful to watch, baby.
Thank you. Yeah. And you got in that water.
Yeah.
For the first time.
Yeah, I did.
What was that about? And like,
I've always wanted to, but the timing wasn't right. Like, I just, I don't know. It wouldn't have meant then what it does now.
Mm-hmm.
That the old is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And the new and the true has come.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just time. I wanted it to mean something.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to be a spectacle. I just, you know, just wanted a private moment. So,
yeah. And how I'll cherish it forever.
Yeah, so will I. Just being eye to eye with you in that water. You weren't my husband, you were... I mean, you were, but... you were my pastor.
Well.
And I... it's just something I needed to do, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, so...
And then
we had to get out of those cold clothes and move on up to this really high rise up on the top of this scary mountain.
Yeah, it's not my favorite place.
That is so biblical and so beautiful, and it's building up now, and it's like I found this place years ago, and I always could take the groups up there, but it's like, well, I think this is probably the last time we can do this, just because of the changes that are happening, and so it's not going to be available, and it's changing.
Well, it's hard to get a bus up there, let alone three. So I had a little bit of fun just watching them maneuver that.
It just wasn't as difficult. Because it wasn't as built up and so tight and packed, and but anyway, there's this kind of top of a mountain where you can see from Jericho down on the on the floor of kind of the desert floor almost, and all the way up to Jerusalem. You can see all the way up to Jerusalem, and so much kind of clicks into place with that one view. It's not like we stay there for a bunch of time, just so much clicks into place with that one view, like the Psalms of Ascents. You can only go up to Jerusalem. You can't come down into Jerusalem. So,
right.
You know, you can see that with your eyes. You can see how that is. And then, you know, the Gospels tell us that Jesus... Final stretch into Jerusalem when he was arrested and crucified. He was leaving Jericho. He walked from there to there. Like you can see exactly how that was. And it's just the backdrop for things like the Valley of the Shadow of Death, the parable of the Good Samaritan.
What did you say the miles from Jericho to?
Yeah, it's 18 miles.
18 miles.
Between the two, and a winding kind of uphill path the whole way.
Covered, like this little path nestled with these very stoic mountains that encamp and surround it. Like they're just proud and tall and beautiful and large.
Yeah.
And it's stunning.
Yeah.
It's just this road carved out in the middle of it.
And from up there, you can see all the way across to Jordan, but the Jordan River. And so you know immediately when Jesus is baptized, he spends time all over there. This is the time of temptation. And so just so much is in that one view. Just 5 minutes. It so much clicks into place in that one view. So we did that, and I'm glad that we got to do it.
Yeah.
And kind of bummed at just how it's just disappearing. That the view itself is just over being built up now. It's just the area is being built up, and so it's disappearing. But anyway, I'm glad we got to do that. And then we went down into Jericho itself and had lunch and got to kind of interact and be among and witness and see, Palestinian culture. And great. And the ancient ruins of Jericho, like there's not, I mean, the way the archaeology is done at that site is a lot different. And so there's not a whole lot that you can kind of really interpret and put into perspective. So it's not like we spend a bunch of time there, but it is a place where you can go, okay, this is really, really ancient Jericho. Like, this is back to biblical Jericho. These mounds, these hills, like mm-hmm. this space that's kind of carved out. And of course, some people got camel rides.
I was going to just say, but hey, if you want a really great camel ride,
that's the place.
That's the place to do it.
And I was really looking at the camels today based on what we were talking about the other day.
Going, I was like, too.
You know what? He's got that right. Camels do have a smile on their face and they look like they're about to tell you a joke.
Yeah.
And but, they know how this is, you know.
Yeah, but Max said they're never going to tell you. They just know it.
They just know it.
But our grandsons got to ride the camel yeah. with our daughter-in-law. And
a bunch of people
fun.
Got to kiss the camels and, you know, kiss the camel or whatever.
And hey, this is a judge-free zone. Hey, you want to kiss a camel?
Yeah, I don't, but I loved the pictures that I saw today of people who did.
Yeah.
So we did that. And, man, then it was time. There's like from there, it's kind of a deadhead for a couple of hours.
Mm-hmm.
Just really, really hard charging north. And we got to spend some time and because we've spent time on all the different buses now. And we've been to you came up with this beautiful idea and came up with these beautiful questions. And we had this kind of trivia contest. And we have a winner from each bus. And
yeah, that was fun.
All the buses become a community. And so they're going to represent and. We're gonna have the Super Bowl of the Bible trivia.
Yeah,
at the live broadcast, and
just some fun.
Have
you
a
know?
Winner? Yeah, it's just beautiful and fun, and passes some of the time. And so we did that and listened to Daily Bible together and moved our way into the Galilee.
Mm-hmm.
And but we got here after dark, and so. I'm looking forward to waking up tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and when it's daylight and looking out over the Sea of Galilee.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really looking forward to everybody else that's here.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to experience that. It's, I don't know. It's like this moment where you go, wait a minute. That's the Sea of Galilee.
Yeah.
Like that is the iconic backdrop. To the ministry of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so part of the story. And so,
oh, yeah. And
so to look at it and go, wow, so that's it. And I'm here. Like, this is the part of the journey we're in now.
Mm-hmm.
We've been out in the wilderness and we've been with the children of Israel, but now we're kind of intersecting the story of Jesus. And man, I love
it. Yeah, I love it too.
So that's what we did today.
Yep. And there's lots we're going to do and see here at the Galilee. And
yep.
Going to have action-packed days.
Mm-hmm.
Right after we get some rest.
Yeah. And it's time for that.
Yes.
So,
indeed.
I guess we're gonna sign off. Just reminding you again about the live. We'll be coming live from the Sea of Galilee. It'll be Saturday night. It'll be night for us, but it'll be, well, depending on where you are in the world. You just have to kind of work that out. 7:30 p.m. Jerusalem time, which is 11:30 a.m. Central, 12:30 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, I mean, just use your smartphone and...
Yeah, just ask, you know, what the difference is between Jerusalem time and where you are.
Yeah, and tune in.
And tune in, yeah. And, yeah, this is an opportunity for all of us, whether virtually here or whether actually here, like, just to kind of connect.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this because this is a point in the year, every year. And I hate when we don't get to do this because it really pulls the community together for like the rest of the year where we get to be together. And so hope to see you there. We'll be there.
Yes,
and, well.
Lord willing, and the Sea of Galilee don't rise.
Yeah. And it'll have to rise a lot to get over here where we are, but
That was we didn't mention this, but that was a very stark detail that we learned today, that
how the Dead Sea.
Yeah, how vast, how quickly it is drying up every year.
Yeah.
Like we saw we passed the place where as we're driving on top of this a bit of a mountain cliff area. Our guide pointed out that that rock right there. See that rock with the black mark? That's how high the water was in 1929.
Yeah.
And it is
way down from there. Like
way down.
A completely different, like the road we were on would be under that water.
Yes. Like to the point where it's like, that's alarming.
Mm-hmm.
That's staggering. That's alarming. Because they don't want to lose this resource. You know, been a part of biblical history for centuries. So that was just something that we learned today that was alarming, I guess. I don't know. Sound the alarm.
Well, any other alarming things you want to get in for today before we go to bed?
No.
Any other non-alarming things you want to get in?
Israel registration for next year is open.
That's true.
If you hear us talk about it and you're like, I have always wanted to go, this is your shot.
Yeah. Check it out. All right, friends. We're tired now, and so we're gonna sign off and we'll be back. Actually, you know, we're going to take a day from whatever this is because we're going to be doing live when we would be doing whatever this is. And so that's what we're going to do. So day after tomorrow, basically, we'll be back.
Yeah.
Catching you up on all the goings on around here. And but that's it for today. Welcome to the Sea of Galilee. I am Brian.
I'm Jill.
And we love you. And
we'll be waiting for you here.
Day after tomorrow.
Hey, my sweet dad fam. This is KSD. Father, I lift up our beloved Pastor Brian, Lady Jill, their entire family, the tech team, and all the fellow dabbers that are traveling to the land of the Bible. Even now, God, will you watch over them? Watch over our family. Allow them to make it in safely. And we pray that you would allow them to recover from jet lag. Let everything go well and smooth as far as the technology being set up and everything that is needed for them to make the connections across the airways. And we just ask that you would let their travels around locally as they're moving around in vehicles or on foot, whatever way they're traveling, Lord, let them be kept safe. And we pray that all will go well for their travels. Keep them in your perfect peace in Jesus' name. Amen. And then also I want to lift up Liz from Western New York. I also have a daughter, Bianca, and so you really spoke to my heart. So I want to lift you up for your girls. Lord, I pray for Bianca, Destiny, and Eliana, who are all in toxic relationships, and they need you. They need to know you personally and intimately. And we're praying that you would draw them out of darkness into your marvelous light. If these relationships that they're in are not what they need, would you remove them from those relationships and comfort Liz's heart as she is yet grieving the loss of her son, Fabian? And I pray that you would bring healing and wholeness to this entire family in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys.
Hey guys, my name is Elise. I'm actually new to Daily Audio Bible. I'm just on here requesting prayer. I lost my mother at 23 years old, and I'm currently 24. She passed the day before Mother's Day. And I'm just asking that you all will pray for me because recently it has been a struggle. She passed away from a rare cancer and I helped take care of her. So I've been really grieving her loss hard and also been struggling with anxiety and OCD. I'm just asking that you all will pray for me and that you all will give me some type of encouragement. It's been really challenging, but God has been keeping me. I'm so blessed to have found Daily Audio Bible. My coworker told me about it. I've been listening to it just about every morning and hearing y'all's testimonies. But I love you all. You all be blessed.
Hey, everybody. This is Following the Pillar. I'm calling in today for Sparky. I'm a few days behind on calling this in, but brother, you've been on my mind. And so I just wanted to lift you up to the throne room of grace. Lord God, we pray for our brother Sparky. He's going through a hard time right now. And I know he called in to pray about drinking too much and alcohol, but I just feel called that that's a symptom, Lord God, and not the problem of what's going on. So I'm just praying that whatever is coming at him, whatever problem he's facing, whatever stress he's dealing with that is causing him to drink in the first place, Lord God, that you would just attack that. Lord God, that the blood of Jesus would fall over his life and that he would be able to find peace and strength in you and be able to address whatever is the problem that's stressing him out, Lord God. I pray that you know in ways that we couldn't even understand, in ways that Sparky doesn't even understand, Lord God, you know. So I just pray that you would be glorified and that your will and your way be shown to truly light up Sparky over the next few days and months, and that he would just be able to find that grace and that peace in you, Lord God. We love you, Sparky, and we're thinking of you. We'll talk soon.
My name is Leah. I'm calling from the Detroit metro area, Michigan. I'm calling because I have had a lot of stress lately at my job, particularly after the new year has started. And I feel like the stress is starting to break me down. And honestly, I feel like I'm on the verge of a breakdown. I am already on anti-anxiety and anti-depression medication. Unfortunately, I don't feel like it's helping the way it should anymore. I've also had some panic attacks, which I had gone quite a bit of time without one, and those are starting to come back as well. I do need my job, but I don't know what to do at this point. And so I'm reaching out in hopes that this group will pray for me and also maybe somehow provide some pointers or, you know, some suggestions for how I can handle this and move forward. Thank you all, and I hope you have a great day. God bless.